A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show.
That's the
show.
Sort of content they want that joke I was about to tell.
You were about to tell a filthy joke, and they don't want to hear your filthy
they
old
want
jokes.
That. They Charlie. Do want those filthy
then
old
come
jokes.
And see you live.
Babbacombe, live.
If you want filthy
Friday
old,
night.
If you want filthy old gags, go. He's working from
December,
the Blue
Book. December the 6th, Comedy Store.
Go and see him.
Quite a few seats left.
A lot of filth. He guarantees filth. We had Matthew Bainton and Jim Howick
yeah,
in.
They they're lovely.
Devised and obviously starred in Ghosts, the yeah. brilliant BBC sitcom that comes to an end officially tomorrow, barring a Christmas special. They're both big Spurs fans. They were very interesting.
Very interesting.
Nice guys.
Yeah, very nice.
We chatted to them. We were joined by Johnny Nelson. It was a whirlwind visit, but he was fascinating on one of the fights hopefully we're going to see yeah. next year, Alexander Usyk versus Tyson Fury.
He's not afraid to say what he thinks.
No.
Which a lot of people in boxing are. He's yeah. happy to say it.
He was straight in there. And we talked about Francis Ngannou and more. We hope you enjoy that. We had a bit of a chat.
We
covered
did.
Some ground. We railed against VAR and the terrible yes. handball laws. And
a few bit of pettiness, didn't we, on the text?
We had some pettiness
that was
on the
nice.
Text. And we had birthday spread as well. So here it all is.
Afternoon, Paul. Terrible. Just before you get going, we get going. Terrible result for Spurs last night, wasn't it?
Really? Did we play?
Terrible result for Spurs.
I didn't know we played.
Yeah, the Knicks. Knicks v. the Spurs last night, of course.
San Antonio. Yeah,
huge win for the Knicks last night v. the Spurs.
Your team, the Knicks. Yeah.
Terrible. One of the.
I've never really. I mean, I suppose another team called the Spurs, yeah. if I had that sort of interest, I would follow them, but I don't.
You don't want
to
follow them?
No.
Not now. I've said, oh, that's a good idea. You could follow them now. You could get on,
get
on board the basketball bandwagon like I am.
You're all right, Charlie.
The NBA
I think
wagon.
You'll be falling off it. A la Glenn Maxwell very soon, won't you?
You're
really?
Saying that. I'm wearing a new badge. Let's go Bockers.
Is that Bockers?
They're the Nick.
Is that how they pronounce it? Let's go Bockers.
They're the Knickerbockers.
They all got West Country accents at
now.
Madison Square Garden,
have
they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Ref, you suck. There he is. Let's go Bockers.
It'd be great if you became this kind of quite famous Knicks fan, like West Country Knicks fan.
Be nice.
And then you'd go to games and it sounds like Jethro's in. You get courtside seats. You have a lottery win. You're always there, sitting next to Spike Lee.
You know,
but
I like,
sounding like Jethro.
You know, I like dressing up. You know,
yeah.
I like dressing up, Paul, and often do all sorts. They haven't got a mascot. I haven't seen their mascot, and he used to be called Doctor or Father Knickerbocker. I think he was called.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd happily be Father Knickerbocker. Hello there, children. Father Knickerbocker here.
You'd be great. You could be like the mascot for Springfield Isotopes. You
exactly.
could go out there and do that sort
Left
of
over
thing.
From, you know, landing on you know, with Disco... Who is it? Who discovered
this
America?
This is clearly not the Rest is History podcast,
it's not,
is it?
It's not my area of expertise.
No, okay.
On the boat from Plymouth is
on
what I was going to say.
He was on the boat from Plymouth. Yeah. Josh Widdicombe was on it, I believe.
He will have been.
Tommy Tynan.
He'll have been on it a lot longer.
I think Tommy actually was on it. But then came back. Then came back to play for Argyle. Yeah.
That was a dreadful bit of
Wasn't
history.
Wasn't that? Yeah, is this right? Was Tommy actually on the boat that landed at Plymouth? Is that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, afternoon, Tommy. I think he listens.
He does listen. He listens in the cab. He's told us in the past. Good afternoon, Tommy. A legend of West Country football.
What a player.
Now, a couple of things. I'm going to get you going on a couple of things. First one is, you may have seen this, it's on social media. We've just had the, it must be true, we just had the Peruvian league decider.
Oh, yeah, this is beautiful.
And the team that won it at the home of their great rivals. So what they did at the absolute moment, the rival club, who obviously had control over the lights, what they did at the moment the final whistle went and they'd lost the title to their rivals, they turned all the lights off in the stadium. all the lights off. There's footage of the guys celebrating their league win sometime later.
In the dark. Lights
still haven't come back on.
No.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Well, you know, apparently a representative of the club has said it was nothing to do with us. It was just pure coincidence.
Oh, yeah.
Seconds after we lost the title, every light in the house was turned off.
Did Arsenal win at Spurs once, Paul? Was that
my one?
Won the league.
I've seen them win the league there twice.
Oh, dear,
effectively.
That's
well, yeah, twice.
Could have done with the lights going out there.
The other one I've forgotten. The other one was a draw, technically. It was a moral victory that day.
Oh,
but
okay.
I don't dwell on that, Charlie. I don't dwell.
Sounds like you're dwelling. You are dwelling.
We got a late equaliser and we celebrated like we'd stopped them winning the title. Little victories, I think we call it, don't we? So we want to hear from you about tales of pure pettiness, honestly. Can you think of anything quite as petty as that?
Yeah,
in any shape or form. Talksport.com/H&J. Text 81089. Tweet TSH&J. If you want to tell us your story, 03717 223344. We welcome your calls. Also, goal celebrations. You may have seen John McGinn, the Villa captain, does a little trademark goal celebration. We kind of put
glasses.
Yeah,
that's nice.
I didn't know what it was for. I discovered it down in the Telegraph. It's a tribute to his nephew Jack. I'm sure the Villa fans know this, but for a wider audience, his nephew Jack has got an eye condition. He has to wear goggles when he plays football, so that's why he always does it for him.
It's nice.
It's a lovely story and a nice celebration.
Not for Edgar Davids.
It's not for Edgar Davids. Come on, Edgar. Yeah, but I'm just interested to know that Saturday afternoon, Sunday is where you play. Is there a play? I don't mean choreographed goal celebrations by teams. I'm talking about maybe a player you come up against, a striker, or somebody in your team, or maybe even you, have got your own trademark goal celebration on a Sunday morning. Something, you know, as soon as like Chris scores, you know what he's going to do. I mean, it could be quite simple, could be quite elaborate.
Might have their own one, their unique one. It must be quite hard to come up with a unique one.
I would think so. What sort of club
the bow and arrow? The bow and arrow's gone, that's gone there. You can't do that.
I mean, I don't mean
the
copying heart. Somebody else. Yeah. Coming up.
Their own ones.
But on a Sunday morning, you start pulling that sort of nonsense. It's all very well when you do it in front of a stand where your wife's sitting amongst 35,000 people or your dad.
Yeah.
But when there's, you know, four blokes and a dog standing there and you're giving it the full heart. I mean, let us know. Anyway, goal celebrations in the lower reaches.
It's like when the
football.
Kids cover their mouths, isn't it? I like it that way.
Yeah,
when they do
kids,
that.
8-year-olds covering their mouths.
They put
it's brilliant.
They put their hand in the air at corners when there's absolutely no signal of anything there, you know.
Absolutely. So go on, get in touch. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ, 03717223344. Watching some of the football last night. I just watching it, the handball law, especially in Europe. It's even worse than it is in the Premier League.
It just gets given, doesn't it? You just know it's going to get given.
In European games, it's an absolute disaster. And what makes it worse is I don't remember it being that contentious a thing. There's a lot of contentious stuff in football, but there always seem to be this sort of tacit acceptance with football fans that if you watch enough football, you kind of know what is handball and what isn't, what is deliberate and what isn't. Yeah. And I think we all sort of tentatively agreed with the same things. The threshold was pretty high. You know, if it was either accidental or deliberate, wasn't it? Somebody put their hand out and stopped the ball, that was handball. If it hit their hand, we'd say accidental handball. It was a beautiful, simple, cut and dried rule. And what we've got now is this complete, utter ragbag of a law that the more they try and get it right, the more they get it wrong. And I just cannot believe IFAB, right? I've got no expectation on Pierluigi Collina or David Ellery, who are in charge of it. They're wonks, basically. They're nerds.
Yep.
They're not interested in it being a great spectacle.
No.
They're more interested in the laws of the game. But there is this panel. You're probably aware there is a football advisory panel.
You're going to name and shame you.
Well,
Paul,
I'm going to give
nice.
You some. I'm going to say it might sound a bit like Jason Cundy. Arsene Wenger. No, but I won't do that. Can you hear me? But Arsene Wenger, Jill Ellis, who was the US coach, right? You've got Hidetoshi Nakata, the great Japanese footballer. Yeah. All these guys have played lots of football. They've all been round the block. Daniel Amakachi, former Everton and Nigeria striker. Just some of the names here. Neri Pompidou was the old Argentina goalkeeper of the 80s. Who else is on there? Francisco Maturana, one of the great players of world football. Aaron Hughes, our own Aaron Hughes, played in our league. All these guys, Boban's on there, Figo's on there. They're all on this panel and they're an advisory board. Any chance of them doing some advising?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine Arsene Wenger in the dugout being sawn off by some the handball for Copenhagen last night? A bloke with his basically not looking at the ball hits his hand after he's come off of Harry Maguire's hand, and you think, How is that a penalty? How is that at all a penalty? I know, look, because he gave the first one, he had to give the second, and that in itself is terrible. But can you imagine? Arsene Wenger would be going mad if some of the decisions...
Absolutely mad,
all these people in a dugout would be doing the same thing.
So, and because they're there, you can't say it's the refs. They've never played the game. They don't know the ins and outs. This is a group of 20 people.
They should.
We've all played up, you know, lot, at least 100 games each.
All these great football people should basically stage a coup.
Yeah.
They should just go in there and take over.
Yeah.
You know, because it's honestly, it's getting absolutely ridiculous. And we think we've got it bad in the Premier League. Watch European games and the way that, especially handball. I mean, look, the Rashford sending off. I saw Keith Hackett today in the Telegraph, the former head of the referee, saying he thought it was the right call. You look at it, I don't know.
No.
I mean, you've got to the point now where you don't quite know what is a red card and what isn't, but it's handball that really drives me potty.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We're delighted to say that down in London and popping in to see us in the studio is the former world cruiserweight champion and, of course, pundit these days for Sky. Pops up on the station a lot with Jim and Simon and the gang. It is Johnny Nelson. Hey, Johnny, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. I'm actually good. Surprised. I'm thinking it's going to be an easy ride here. Simon's here to drill me, so...
I was back, actually. Here he comes.
I was telling... Charlie, about the first time I ever met you, must be 20 odd years ago. You came down, you were down in London, you were still fighting, and a cab had brought you in. There was a little short, sort of fairly rotund cab driver, and you. And we came down in reception to see you, and you went, "I'm Johnny." And I said, "Well, with the greatest respect, I didn't think he was the world cruiserweight champion."
The bloke says,
"Yeah,
yeah, yeah, I remember that."
Says, "Yeah, none taken." Yeah, little short, fat,
5'4" yeah. Cab driver.
I mean, for you, you don't look like a cruiserweight to me. Oh dear. So, Charlie just asked you a question off air. It is one of the big talking points. Alexander Usyk was saying the other day, it's December the 23rd or never. Make your mind up, Tyson. He's now backtracked slightly and said, yeah, he's picked up some injuries in the last fight. So it's going to be February. I mean, how hopeful are we for February?
You know what? I'll get into it and I'll probably get some stick over it. Before the fight, I got a call from Tyson's manager, Spencer Brown.
Yeah.
And because he made a comment about Tyson's definitely fighting December the 23rd. No matter what, I've done the deal, I've sat down. So I said, well, who's this guy with that sort of authority? Has he got the authority to say that? He's a bit upset by that.
Yeah.
And, he got on the phone, he said, well, I don't like why you said that. I said, well, who are you? He said, I'm his manager. I said, well, it was news to me.
Yeah.
And I thought Frank Warren was his manager. I thought, you know, Bob Arum was there. He said, no, it's me. I went, oh, I didn't remember be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Because once you're his manager, the book stops with you.
Mm.
So your responsibility to make sure everything's managed correctly, that was a manager does. He said, yes, he's definitely fighting December 23rd. No matter what, I've done a deal. I went, brilliant. Fight came about, and you've got to give it to Saudi Arabia. The setup was brilliant.
Mm.
Even though they might have paid for all those guests, those stars to be there, the idea behind it was they want the whole world to see how much of an amazing show they put on, which they did do. It was an amazing show. So then it was Tyson Fury's responsibility to do his job, which was perform to the best of his ability. Now he said they said he trained right. They said like the week up to running up to it, he had a lot of commitments, probably took his mind off the ball, and he probably underestimated who was there. He trained right. So I said, number one, now it's down to the manager to say, and I know this, your manager say, no, you're not doing that, you're not doing that, you're not doing that. You've got to get you around the game.
Yeah.
That's the manager's responsibility.
Yeah.
For the fighter, if you've trained to the best of your ability, that you're going to box to the best of your ability. Everybody's entitled to a bad day. But on such a massive occasion, such a massive do, my response was, if Tyson has trained to the best of his ability and has prepared for this correctly, then that kind of performance tells me his legs have gone. Now, there was uproar. Oh, my God, Nelson said his legs have gone. I can remember when Tony Bellew said it about David Haye before they boxed, and I never actually thought about it. And then I watched the fight, I thought, oh my God, he spotted that right.
Yeah.
Now, the way Tyson fought, he was falling all over himself. He found it was six rounds before he found his feet, whatever. And then the decision is the way it is. Tyson Fury, being Tyson Fury, I always said this is the best heavyweight in the world. So in that performance against a guy who had his first professional fight, you're thinking, what have we just seen there?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've either not trained, or your legs have gone.
Mm.
So do you want us to believe that you've trained? Because if we believe that you've trained and putting on that performance, it means your legs have gone. Make your mind up. But then as a manager, his manager has then got to come out. His manager's got to address this thing. Let's not develop amnesia and say, oh, let's just forget that. I promised that yesterday, but believe me today.
Yeah.
So now they're saying they're talking fighting in February.
February, yeah.
To my understanding, it's one of two things. Tyson Fury either gets stripped or gets sued. if the fight doesn't happen. And I think it probably it's last chance alone. He won the fight, so why is the fight not going on? Mm. He won the fight. Yes, he looked like he got hit by a bus after the fight, but he won the fight. So why did it not happen December 23rd? It was never going to happen because Usyk was ringside at the fight.
Yeah.
And if I was fighting, and most fighters, your manager, your team are not going to let you go on a jolly to Saudi Arabia 8 weeks before such a big fight.
Sure.
He was there ringside. So I thought, I don't understand why you said that day. If these people, everybody's ringside in preparation for it. Now, will the fight happen? Frank Warren is a very shrewd, clever guy. And if he's handed the reins over to Spencer Brown, who's now his manager, I'll keep repeating it, then he's thinking, I know dealing with Tyson's hard work. Frank Warren's thinking, I don't want a headache. So now, Spencer, you're the manager. You deal with him. So we said this is happening. Tyson might say something else. So he's your hot potato. And that's where the issue is. So do we believe he trained to the best of his ability?
Yeah.
Because if we do believe him, why did he perform the way he did?
Yeah.
His own brother said, Tyson has surrounded himself with yes men.
Yeah.
His own brother who's in the camp. This is nothing different to what I've said. Those yes men are people that are getting paid handsomely and they don't want to lose the job. So they're never going to challenge you if you say, I want to do this, I want to do that. If you want to develop yourself as a fighter, as an athlete, you always need to learn. You always need to be in a position where somebody advises you to get the best out of you. Prince Nassim Hamid wouldn't have been Prince Nassim Hamid without Brendan Ingle. David Beckham wouldn't have been David Beckham without Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
So you always need somebody to guide you. Yeah. So if you've surrounded yourself with yes men, and women, therefore what's going to happen is you're going to stump your development. Now, as the manager, it's his responsibility. He's going to manage. But also as a manager, your credentials are going to be questioned. Why have you got this job? What qualifies you for this job? Mm-hmm. So this is welcome to shark fest waters of the world of boxing.
Absolutely exhausting.
It's going to be fast. Just another quick one before we let you go, Johnny. There's some talk today of the idea of, I think, Eddie Hearn has said there's potential for Francis Ngannou to fight Anthony Joshua. Is that something you'd want to see?
I'd want to see it, yeah. I think Francis Ngannou did an amazing job, and it's not taking credit away from him, but even though it sounds like it did. I think talk is cheap, you know, so to associate the names, it gets people talking, gossiping, oh my God, this could happen, but it keeps you at the top of the table.
Yeah.
In my opinion, I think Francis Ngannou did an amazing job because I didn't think he'd last the distance. But in reality, any of the top 10 heavyweights that are out there should beat him, even though he did a good job against Tyson Fury. I think Eddie saying the fight with Ngannou, mention it, doesn't mean it's happening.
No.
The devil's in the detail. Put the names together, get
it's
people...
All show business, isn't it?
Create hysteria. I don't think it's going to happen.
No.
I think...
Isn't there a bit of Anthony Ruiz sort of... Buster Douglas, isn't there a bit of thing you get caught cold once by in a fight like that? But, you know, Anthony Joshua would see him coming this time, and he'd see him off.
Andy Ruiz, when he beat Anthony Joshua, nobody knew who he was. We just saw a little fat Mexican fella getting in the ring. And then once we knew saw what he did, now all of a sudden he's probably had, what, two fights since then?
Because
everybody knows who he is. Thinking, watch this guy, watch this cookie.
Yeah.
When Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson, that year he was the highest paid sportsman after that. But initially, he was the lowest paid Mike Tyson opponent. I think he got $800,000. After that, he boxed in Vanna Holyfield for $13.5 million.
Yeah.
Now, Ngannou, now everybody knows who he is. He's a good scalp to have. But I tell you now, he'll earn such a packet now in his next fight. Mm. And that'll probably be the first and last we see of him in the top 10 for the time being.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not taking anything away from him. I think what he did was brilliant. But in reality, the top 10 fighters, world fighters that are there, this guy shouldn't stand a chance unless they make the same mistake as Tyson Fury.
Yeah, which is unlikely. Johnny, we're out of time. It was lovely. It was a
whirlwind
visit.
Amazing, Johnny.
I enjoyed
fantastic.
That, as always.
I loved it,
Enjoy your time down here in the smoke.
Yep.
And then you're back up to Sheffield.
I'm going to go to Buckingham Palace and stand outside the gates.
Cheers, Johnny. Lovely
Thanks,
to see
Johnny.
You.
Cheers.
Thanks for coming in. It's Johnny Nelson there. I'm sure he'll be back on the station before too long.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon. Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk.
We just got into the most interesting conversation. It was shut off completely.
We should let Jim finish that sentence.
That was my wife's talk. Corgi fan, wife, and she fancies. Well, and then it stopped. Oh, well, look, we came back on air. Unbelievable.
Ghosts finishes this week. I think there is a Christmas special. The guys can tell us more. We've got two of the co-creators and stars of the very popular BBC sitcom, Matthew Bainton and Jim Howard. Good afternoon, guys.
Hiya.
Lovely to see you.
Thanks for having us.
So, as we said, Matthew, calling time on a successful show when people still want more. I mean, there's plenty of sitcom examples of, you know, Fawlty Towers, The Office, etc., of people doing that. But it's always a big call, isn't it?
It is. You're literally walking away from your gainful employment. Yeah. So there is a bit of a gamble there, but we sort of hope that we'll get other jobs, I guess.
Yeah.
But you just want to... We love the show and we're really proud of it. And it gets to a point where you sort of think, do you want it to just fizzle out and sort of become a bit mediocre or be something that's still on telly and people go, oh, that's still on.
Mm.
You'd sort of rather bow out.
Drop down the leagues a bit.
Yeah. Exactly.
Down, you know, do you want to be you could be Chris Waddle and end up playing, you know, League Two in your late 30s.
Yes. He did that for fun. There ain't nothing to prove to anybody. He was going to turn out for a non-league team the other day, Chris. There was a number of people involved in the sort of the show being devised. So how did it all come about then, Jim? How did the kind of show come together?
Well, we just finished a show called Yonderland, and we were just thinking about what could be the next journey for us. And we wanted to keep the sort of dressing up theme. So we played in Yonderland and Horrible Histories. We played multiple characters.
Yeah.
Horrible Histories was a sketch show. So we wanted to have something, a sort of playground where we could operate with a sort of multi-character sort of area. So we got together and sort of decided on a haunted house, went back and forth with that idea. And we were going to sort of frequent the haunted house with loads of different ghosts, loads of ghosts from all sort of ages. And then we decided not to because it was sort of hard to play all those characters and a bit of a production nightmare and stick to the core characters of the five. And that's kind of how the idea came about, so the foundation.
And that's one of its strengths, really, Matthew, isn't it? Because it's like you get into the characters. You know, you've got this core of characters that you kind of care about and you buy into, and that's kind of, rather than it being sort of people flitting in and out. I think so.
It looks like a high concept thing because it's about ghosts, but then in the end, it's actually a flatshare sitcom. It's people stuck together who don't necessarily get on very well. It's the most sort of extreme version of that because they literally can't leave because they're ghosts, so they're trapped there forever.
People found it really quickly, didn't they? I mean, even in the, as I was looking for you coming in today, the first series got really good numbers. I mean, that's quite rare, isn't it? And often takes them a while to find a new sitcom.
I think we're lucky because we've sort of got an identity as a group and people will follow us from one project to another. So even though it's a new show, it's sort of, we already have a fairly loyal audience.
Well, you're loved, don't you? The ensemble is loved. You've worked as an ensemble so long and Horrible Histories. They always say if you can get people when they're young, you know, you'll sort of have them forever. So
kids got on board with the 20s, now adults. Like, people in their 20s with full beards coming up to you and going, you're my childhood. That ages me.
So you've got, is it tomorrow is the last show?
It's the last episode of the final series. And then the final episode ever will be the Christmas one.
I was going to say, must be a Christmas,
We don't have a broadcast date for that yet, but we
don't think so.
Fingers crossed for the big one. Is it Christmas Day?
That'll be nice. It was Christmas Day last year, so it'll be lovely to have
Christmas Day, isn't it?
And have there been kind of different versions of ghosts around the world? Has the format been sold?
Oh, yeah.
It has to America, So America do to ghosts over there for CBS. And
what do you make of it? Were you kind of advisors on it, you guys?
We're executive producers on it, and we were heavily involved at the beginning when they were sort of creating it, putting it together and thinking about what their versions of, you know, it's American history. What are the archetypes through American history? Where we've got a headless Tudor, you can't have that, so they've got a Native American character, they've got a Civil War captain.
A police cop.
There are a couple of characters that are very similar to ours.
Suddenly you were doing... I was doing
the village people.
A construction worker.
People often make that.
Well, you could do. I mean, you could do.
You could do it with them. What a good idea. Maybe that's the next thing.
Now there's these versions all over the world. There are sort of possible versions of it in development, and that's the great by complete accident, we created a concept that you can kind of localise to any culture and any country.
Fantastic. You're a kind of repertory company, Jim. You're going to keep working together? Have you got something else all planned out?
We've got some irons in the fire. I mean, we're sort of having a natural pause at the moment. I think, you know, to not do something again as a group would be silly, really.
Well, I mean, it would work as live theatre as well, wouldn't it?
If you wanted to take
it on the road.
Who knows?
We all sort of started out doing live comedy, and we talk about that quite often. It's sort of, you miss it. You miss hearing the laughter.
Yeah. You're about to play Bottom at the RSC, aren't you?
Correct, yeah, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
When's that? Is that for Christmas as well?
No, it's actually in the new year. It's mid-January, I think, we open till the end of March. Yeah, but I'm looking forward to that.
Jim, I'm available.
Okay. I was going to say, you'd be a brilliant Bottom, actually.
Thank you.
You're sort of more natural casting, actually, for that.
Well, they came to me first, I'll be honest.
This is the moment you turned it down.
Yeah. I turn it down now.
I'll give you Matthew's number. Yeah. I can't be bothered, to be honest.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Have you got any friends who might like to play Bottom?
Jim, that didn't happen.
Jim, how much did you regret... We must get asked this all the time, writing that you had an arrow through your neck.
Oh, do you know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. At first, we had to sort of work on the design because I wouldn't be able to sort of sit down or even lie down at lunch. Yeah, yeah. Like a nap our 40s. Yes. But it was simply a joke shop arrow, really. A bit housed in the scarf, so it was quite easy to take off.
Okay.
Take off and off, so it wasn't.
He also wrote it into the story that he snapped the end off because he's trying to get back on the minibus to drive to drive himself to hospital.
Oh, nice. Oh, lovely. Yeah.
So it's not the full length of the
arrow. I didn't have it bad at all, really. I was in my own sort of makeup with my own tash. Simon was without trousers the whole time. So when we were filming outside, we used to film January to March, so there were nights he was absolutely freezing.
No one thought it through, did
they? No, not really.
That's it. Yeah, didn't future proof it. Well, it's the last one. It's 9. What time is it on? Is it this?
8:30.
Right. 8:30 tomorrow night.
Fantastic.
And
then, congratulations.
Yeah, it's been great success.
I hope you have a massive flop your next.
There we are. Charlie's
next
in the project.
Massive.
Yeah, we were going to offer you a part.
What
have you done?
It's only because I was offered Bottom at the RSC.
Oh, really?
That's another old gag there, but we'll move on. So let's Spurs. We need to talk about Tottenham. You're both Spurs fans. You go together at the games, do you? Or
we wave at each other across the across both the stadium and the class divide. He's in the premium seats, and I'm with the people.
Okay, nice, beautiful, nice. That's nice.
Do you get a halftime bottle of Heineken?
I get halftime. I get whatever I like at halftime. Well, I get drink whatever you like at half time.
Right,
really.
Okay. Yeah. Free?
It's for as long as half time is.
Yeah, okay. These days. If you can add injury time to that, you'd be laughing. Hand in every game.
And a bit of food beforehand, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
That's quite a commitment. Have you always been prawn sandwich? Or
this is
a spin-off of Ghosts.
I've always been prawn sandwich.
Yeah.
I may remain prawn sandwich because the seats are really comfy and I get a cup holder.
Oh, that's
which
nice.
Is worth, you know, yeah, worth wow. it all, you know. We both went to the Lily White House, the building that before the stadium was built, and we were sort of they tried to sell us these tickets.
We did the VR tour. And then at the end of it, they started talking about the price of the premium tickets, and I just saw a look in Jim's eye. I thought they've got him.
Yeah, they've got him.
Was it like timeshare? Did they ring a bell? Matthew, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm saying Daniel Levy rang a bell when they got Jim.
That's it. Yeah,
you're earning Jim. Yeah. What's it for?
I'm enjoying myself exactly.
You've sold it to America. You know, you've just said
it's fine.
You're going to be sitting.
It feels worth it now. I'll tell you that. It didn't feel worth it last season.
No.
But we're enjoying ourselves now. Yeah. It's a great atmosphere.
Even despite
that
shellacking on Monday. It was, as I was saying to you off air, it's been the collateral damage of that night. Not so much the night itself, but the fallout from it in injuries and suspensions.
Yeah, totally.
It's good to hear that from Tottenham's point of view that Van de Ven, it sounds as if he's not as bad as everybody initially thought. He's going to be out for a good few weeks.
I think so.
So they've got a lot of mix and match to do ahead of Wolves on Saturday lunchtime, haven't they?
I have to say, as much of a calamity as it was, by the end, I felt like I've never loved this football club more.
Yeah, it was a strange
thing. The atmosphere
wasn't it,
in the ground was incredible.
Yeah.
And the camaraderie in the squad, you know, and the sense that
that we will depend on those fringe players. And, yeah, you know, that they've been given, with the exception of Dyer, they have all been given minutes under, yeah, under Ange. And that's what you've got to do. If you end up in that moment where you depend on those players, yeah, and they've not had minutes on the pitch, yeah, you're in trouble.
Well, whether they've had minutes on the pitch or not, Matthew, he's not had a bomb squad, I don't think. He's not ostracised those players and not been involved, yeah, which is how Eric Dyer came on and put a real shift in.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, the time was when, at the end of that game, the seats would have been empty.
Yeah.
There would have been booze ringing around the ground.
Yeah.
It says everything you need to know about what Ange Postecoglou has instilled in the club, actually.
Yeah, incredibly just quickly. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
insane. It got very toxic at the end of the season.
Yeah, no, it did.
At the ground.
It does feel very different. The whole atmosphere feels very
it's gonna
different.
It's going to be so awful when he's Man United manager at Christmas. It's going to be so sad in here.
Jacob Hawley, the Arsenal. Jacob Hawley, the Arsenal supporting comedian, said they like Ange and. But they're going to start Ange for England.
Yeah. Oh, really? Is that it?
That's the big hashtag Ange for England. Yeah, you know, what a great England manager.
Oh, yeah, fantastic.
After Gareth. But I mean, look, it's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks and whether the kind of spirit of what we've seen from this team, whether that's going to be enough.
It's a challenge. Yeah, it'll be a rough patch.
It won't be that rough because you'll be in that comfy seat with your free beer.
Yeah, it won't be for me. I mean, for the Villa game, it'll be nice.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? I think, you know, if we can get, you know, 2 or 3 points out of the next few.
Yeah. I used to sit in the West Stand years and years ago. I mean, I had a couple of seasons on a ticket up right the back of that West Stand, which is the where the posh seats are at Tottenham. And it was, in those days, it was the smell of cigar smoke.
Oh, really? Was,
There'd be a lot of cigars. The board of directors, there'd be a lot of cigar smoke up there. It was cigarette smoke. All three sides, predominantly Slim Panatella in the West End.
Cafe Creme.
Cafe Creme, there we are.
Slim Panatella, didn't he play under Ozzy
Ardiles? I think he did.
Very good. Western singer. So, well, guys, lovely to see you. Congratulations on Ghost. And we look forward to the next project. And thanks for coming in up the Spurs. And we'll hopefully see you again soon. Thank you very much.
Matthew
Bainton there, Jim Howick there from Ghost. Tomorrow night, 8:30, the final show, Christmas special. TBA, but certainly you would imagine sometime over Christmas. Be a bit dark, play it out 28th of January, wouldn't it, really?
Just get it in that middle bit.
that's it.
When everyone's out.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Charlie Baker here on Talk Sport. Coming up, the Moose will join us. We've got games in Europe tonight, of course, and I'm sure we'll hear from the gaffers and the players ahead of those. We're going to bring you Toulouse versus Liverpool this evening in the Europa League. Alex Crook and Dean Ashton are your commentary team for that one. That's the 5:45 kickoff on Talk Sport 2. And Hugh Woozencroft and Jermaine Pennant keep you in touch with all the goals around Europe tonight in kickoff. From 7. We were asking about goal celebrations in the lower reaches earlier on. I just wondered if on a Sunday afternoon, Saturday morning, people still went for the elaborate goal celebration. I mean, talk about the influence of pro football. This has come from Rob in Derby.
Oh, yeah.
My seven-year-old son, when he scores a goal, kisses an invisible wedding ring and points to the sky. As far as I know, he's not married, not religious, and thankfully has no acquaintances in heaven.
Oh, lovely.
It's amazing.
I bet he loves that. He's seen it done.
Kissing the wedding ring. Beautiful.
Kissing his tattoo on his wrist, I expect next. That'll be nice.
It's lovely.
This is Craig. On a Sunday morning, our 18-stone centre-back always celebrates a goal by pulling his top up into his mouth and doing a pole dance on the corner flag, finger in his belly button, the lot. How lovely on a Sunday morning.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. This is my favourite one. Which is says one of our best strikers was a surgeon. He was very posh, and he'd turn up in pink chinos and a wax jacket. You couldn't miss him. A member of the opposition once asked him if he was in fancy dress with all his posh gear on. So when he scored, he started doing a goal celebration like the Queen's wave.
Yeah,
that's nice. Lording it all over the footballing pleb. Yes, thank you so much. Lovely, beautiful. That's from Nick, Heritage United.
Oh, Heritage, you got.
Don't know.
Beautiful. What a club they were.
Great history they've got.
I was in Tesco Newton Abbott. You know that Tesco?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Is it a big one? Is it a mega store?
It's next to Racker Hayes Pool, which is the fishing pond in Newton Abbott, opposite the racecourse.
Oh, lovely.
Opposite Newton Abbott racecourse.
So you've been in there, have you, for a meal deal?
Newton Abbott All Whites, the rugby team.
Wow.
Is there as well.
It's like a little trip round Newton. Yeah. Anyway,
a trip round Newton Abbott. And
James
is
a Fulham fan. I don't know what he was doing there. But Tesco Newton Abbott parked in the parent and child as I had my little girl with me. The fella next to me with a lead sticker in his window had no child. I let him go in, then went to customer service with his registration number and said his boot and all his doors were open.
Yeah.
He ran out so fast, it made me feel warm inside. Petty little man, he says, I am.
Yeah, lovely. That's nothing to do with Leeds United. That's just from not being from Newton Abbott.
We asked about pettiness today because in the Peruvian League decider, the team that won were playing at their rival's ground, and the team that lost, of course, who were at home, turned all the lights off the moment the final whistle went to kill. And they said it was just the local power issue, and it was nothing to do with them. Chini Recon, whatever
you
that
think
is.
That's what it is, emergency lights.
Yeah, so they turned all the lights off. So we were looking for tales of pettiness.
Very nice.
Today. So also, Johnny Nelson was in a little bit earlier on, and Wads from Leeds was half listening. He said, I thought at one point you said you had Willie Nelson on to talk boxing. Quite nice. Like that idea.
Yeah, he does it on the road.
This is the idea that we like to talk, but I mean, we have the boxing hour with Jim and Simon, but that is essentially boxing people. What we like to do is have, you know, mainly people from the world of country or Western,
it'll
come on with Garth Brooks looking ahead to the big fight.
Dolly Parton, she's very good on the sort of light welterweight scene.
Yeah, those sort of ABA nights. She'd be
more your York Hall.
She's small hall fights we normally turn to Dolly on. We get Willie on for the big the big fights.
He loves those big fights. Yeah, he does. There we are. What a fine figure of man Johnny
is. If you've got any other country and Western star boxing chat combos, then we're happy to bring them to the listeners.
The crossover there.
We'll try. If there's ones you'd like to see happen, if there's certain aspects of the fight game and a country and Western singer you feel would be the perfect person to chat about that, maybe this could become a strand.
I just watched that Sly Stallone documentary on Netflix.
Oh,
very,
yeah, it's
very good, Paul.
Yeah?
It's very, very good indeed, yes.
Yeah. Did you know much about him?
I didn't know him and his brother. I know his brother Frank is a singer.
Yeah.
His brother Frank's in Rocky, isn't he? You know when they
turns
the corner and there's some street singers under a street lamp. That's his brother Frank Stallone. But they got split up when they were kids.
Yeah,
their parents split up and one Sly moved to the countryside with his dad.
I didn't know about this documentary.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's called Sly. I think it's called Sly. I'm going to say it's called Sly. Might not be called Sly.
Okay.
But it follows him. He's packing up his house. He sold his house to Adele. Do you know that?
She said she'd
buy it if he left the Rocky statue that's at the end of the pool.
Yeah.
So he's packing up his house, and as he's packing up his house, he's talking you through his life. It's a nice format, and he's very, very honest in it.
Oh, okay.
Very honest in it, and you see his success with Rocky. Obviously, that comes out of nowhere. He writes, produces, and acts in it. And then he has a load of flops, and they take him, they take you through all his flops.
Yeah.
Which is really good. So he writes Rocky 2 and then brings Rambo up. His dad was not a nice person.
Wow. I'll go and check it out.
Oh, it's really, really interesting. Really good.
My favourite Stallone film, I think, you know, because people just, you know, they look at his films and they don't think he's up to much. You seen Copland? You ever seen Copland?
Copland's great. Now, they go into Copland and how that was supposed to be his sort of lookout. It's almost his John Travolta in. When John Travolta did Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
And so Copland was supposed to be seen as, I'm a great actor, and he said he was in this scene with Stallone in it. You watch.
Yeah.
He said he was in this scene with
De Niro in it.
Said he's not trusting me with the full De Niro, you know. Right. And then he sort of improvises it. A lot of it's improv. A lot of the Rocky is improv. You know, it's
really interesting, good documentary.
Yeah, good fun. You know, nice hour.
Very good. Eric, I'm not sure how well this would have played. Eric Ten Hag was talking about the game last. He's obviously upset about some of the decisions, but he said, I was very disappointed as we played very good football and started so well. It was our best 10 minutes of the season. Yeah, I'm not sure I would have said that. We dominated for 25 minutes. I mean, you get 25 minutes injury time now. Yeah. He knew what he meant. But still, I'm not sure. Yeah. You know, that was our best 10 minutes of the season would have played well. Jane McDonald, singer and TV,
my favorite.
Perennially on holiday.
She's absolutely my favourite.
Never off of holiday.
No.
When is she ever at home? I mean, every show, she finishes one Channel 5 series, then she gets on another cruise ship or goes. What a gig. She's always working. Jane McDonald said the worst Christmas present she ever received was a nose hair trimmer.
Oh, that's nice. Right.
So that's bad enough.
Who gave her that?
Her husband.
Oh, nice. Just what you need.
Isn't that good?
Just what you need.
Wow.
Happy Christmas.
Her ex-husband, which I didn't even need to add that. He gave her that, apparently, and a self-help book.
Oh, blimey.
Imagine that.
It's a bit like if you buy someone a gym membership for Christmas or their birthday. It's like, is this a hint?
Yeah, or a running machine.
A full set of Slim Fast.
Stomach stapling or something like that. Yeah, just a voucher. Voucher for the old trip to Turkey for you there.
A lot of love for Ghost
since Matthew Bainton and Jim Howitt came in about half an hour ago. Absolutely love Ghost, says Chris, the Arsenal fan. So sad to see it end. Been watched every season. Big fan, he says. Yeah, so yeah, a lot of love for it when the guys were here. We are looking for pettiness. And Reese from Western Supermare, a moment I hadn't seen until fairly recently, but our producer and Charlie showed it to me. Talkie drew 2-2 to a late Western Supermare equaliser a few years ago.
Yeah.
And a Talkie fan threw a full-sized wheelie bin onto the pitch. Very petty, he says. Yeah,
that's good. They're good doing it. Full wheelie bin on the pitch.
How did they get a full wheelie bin into the stadium?
That was a couple of years ago. That wheelie bin now plays left back for us. National League South, he's one of our best players. Yeah. It's been unbelievable all season.
Yeah. What about that?
I don't know how they got the wheelie bin on the pitch, but they did, Paul.
Just in a fit of pique to throw something on the pitch. I mean, you know, I don't know, a plastic drink container. Not a wheelie bin. Who throws a wheelie bin on a pitch?
Well, I reckon a few more things might get thrown on the pitch soon, Paul. If it carries on the way it's going.
Is there some kind of coup going on then?
There's no coup happening.
I know there was a kind of meeting last night.
There's unhappiness at Torquay with how it is going, how vocal the ownership are, how much they seem to care, Paul. Which, you know, football clubs belong to fans, don't they?
Shouldn't you be a rallying point? As you know, shouldn't Charlie Baker? Shouldn't he be?
Why should I be at the front of it?
Well,
I'm talking about it now.
I'm
never negative about the club.
No,
always positive about the club. But it comes
to
a point.
You said he got wheelie bin playing at left back. I mean, if I was Torquay's left back, I wouldn't be feeling.
Left back
great
was a bad choice because he's Dean Moxey. He's probably our best player.
I've seen
centre mid. Let's say centre mid.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Let's make them feel special. Yeah.
Yeah. Clubs belong to the fans, Paul.
Yeah.
Don't they? Clubs belong to the fans. You know, the history is the fans will still be there, whoever owns the club.
You want to have a chat with that lot down the road, Exeter. The sort of fan ownership has worked very well for them.
I'm thrilled that's worked well for them, yeah.
Well, I mean,
and I'm thrilled, you know.
Be a blueprint.
Yeah, exactly.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Joining us now, Andy Jacobs and Jeff Peters. It's time for the birthday spread. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yeah, good afternoon, boys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. You're quite pleased with the gags yesterday. You've honed the 21 down to 10 absolute pieces of gold.
Yeah, pretty good. I think only a couple of old ones. I think there's some new ones in there.
That's good. Jeff Peters, keep score. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, the nerves.
Good afternoon from the nerve centre. Yes, a lot of fresh names in the birthday spread today. So looking forward to those gags. So no beep, no truck beeping today. Paul's in great form. 8 wins in 10 against Charlie. 19-16 this year. 56-33 overall. And as always, we are on Instagram Live.
Yes, brilliant.
If anybody wants to have a look,
I've just joined, and you had 57 people a minute ago. Now you're down to 55. So I don't know what's happened there.
We had nearly
200 at one point last week.
What's the point?
Instagram Live. Jeff Peters and Andy Jacobs. Birthdays. We've got to guess how old the people are. Andy has got a gag for each one of them. Some will know, some we won't. We alternate, so there's no S-housery. I'll kick us off because I won last week. And we're always helped by Pelé and Sergio Mendes. First birthday, Andy.
Okay. The first birthday this week is the fine golfer Bubba Watson. And we were in a college marching band at Georgia University together. We used to have virtually identical trumpets. You couldn't tell whose was whose. I was forever blowing Bubba's.
It could have been worse.
It could have been an awful lot worse. I'd say Bubba Watson, he's probably late 30s, would you say, Charlie? 39.
I'm in the game against you.
Well, I'm just sounding you out, you know, just as a mate.
It's like you going to VAR do you think? Do you think that looks...
Yeah. 39, I'm going to say.
Do you think that looks offside?
I think I've gone a bit high, but I don't want to line you up 39.
You've gone young.
Have you, Bubba?
44.
He's 45. Good start.
Yeah, there we are. Bad luck.
Yeah. Okay. Doesn't seem we're... Yeah, okay. Probably right. Not a good start for me. What's the score, Jeff?
Hall 6, Charlie 1.
Do let us know how you're getting on, listeners, and we'll bring you the best of those at halftime. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
Just watching them on my Instagram, on Instagram Live, and they do take it very seriously, Paul.
Oh, yeah, look at that. They've got their real game faces on the pair of them. Okay. Here we go then. Charlie goes first. Next birthday,
Andy. Talking about? It's the singer and actor... Art Garfunkel. Oh, yeah. And he was due to appear on White and Jordan, but he fell out with one of them during the ad break. The producer had to go in the studio to break up a fight between Simon and Garfunkel.
Oh, nice. Oh, yes.
Yeah. 81. Yes.
Yeah. He's got young hair, though, hasn't he? Has he still got young hair?
I think he puts it, if he lost it, because it's sort of part of his vibe. Do you think he wig it up? Did he go to Turkey and sewn in?
He could do, that could do,
No, can you make it look slightly mad? Thank you, mate.
He's got to be around there. I'll go 79.
82.
Wow, oh, Charlie, you're doing really well. Bang. What's the scores, Jeff?
It's Paul 9, Charlie 2. Charlie, you got a direct hit with that last year.
Last year. I don't, you know.
Yeah,
there's no cheating going.
Who'd know that?
He's like the Andy Zaltzman the birthday spread, isn't he? Of
course. Without the amazing hair.
Without the
amazing
Garfunkel envelope. So what's next,
that's
then?
Very true. Mm. It's the actress from Heidi High, a guest on your show recently, you and Charlie, Sue Pollard.
My favourite.
Lovely Sue Pollard.
What a great guest.
I went to a party, actually. Mm. Yeah, I know as well, because I went to a party at her house with the supermodel Heidi Klum, who proceeded to drink the entire contents of Sue's bar. It's very unusual to see Heidi High.
Yeah.
Odie ho, listeners.
Yeah, I'd say... I mean, she was in great nick, so it was lovely to
don't
see her.
Don't tell Miss Cathcart.
Yeah, don't tell Miss Cathcart. Craig Cathcart. Don't tell Craig Cathcart. I'd say, what is Sue? She's got to be 69.
Mm. She's in Panto in Bournemouth this year. She's playing the Evil Queen.
She isn't.
Jeff. No one was going to do that. It's a fine system for doing that. Yeah, 69, I'm going.
72.
She's 71.
Wow, okay.
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, hang on.
Sorry, I've got that wrong. Oh. 74, I read that wrong.
That's 74. Chipping 74. Away. What's the scores, Jeff?
Brilliant start for Charlie. He's on 4. Paul, you're on 14.
Wow, okay. Opening up a lead already.
Yeah, but it's easy. One little thing and it can all come back.
Fourth birthday, here we go.
Okay, she was the star of Roseanne. It's Roseanne Barr. And with the acting work drying up a bit, she's had to open an optician's. I bought a few pairs of specs off her, but they proved faulty. I had to take my glasses back to the bar.
Nice one for Al Murray fans.
Set a low bar, isn't it? Roseanne Barr is 68.
That's a good one, that. A good guess. I'd say around that. 67.
71.
Oh, wow.
Okay, there we are.
Wow-wee.
It's quite easy when you can see Andy's notes on Instagram Live.
Is that what you've done?
No.
I wonder why he was doing so well.
He can't.
What's the scores, Jeff?
Charlie's won every round so far. It's Paul 18, Charlie 7.
18-7.
This is the best I've ever played.
I'm hanging in, though. I'm hanging in there on your coattails. But, OK.
Justin, you'll still win, Paul. Don't worry about it.
Come on, Charlie. Let's go into half-time, then. I'll lead us off. What's the birthday?
It's the actor from Rocky IV. It's Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah. Dolph Lundgren. He came in, didn't he, Andy?
Yes.
Remember?
Oh, yes. Massive, isn't he? Yeah. I was indebted to him when I decided to swim the channel. Yeah. He lent me his flippers and I was able to fulfill a lifelong dream of swimming with dolphin fins.
Dolphin fins.
Rocky IV's good, isn't it? It's good when he goes running in that leather jacket, isn't it?
Yeah.
Doesn't look very breathable.
He was a nice man, I remember.
Was he Dolph?
Yeah, Dolph.
He's not the character he is, he?
I know, but you never quite know, do you? You never quite know. He was very nice. I'd say Dolph now is probably 72. A bit younger?
I reckon a bit younger.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm going to say 68.
66.
I'm not having a good day, Charlie. Playing well today. I'm just a bit off it. I'm like. Most of the England team out in India. No, just you're a bit still, off
don't
it.
Worry, Paul. I always go to pot second half.
So, what's the scores going at half time, Jeff?
You always know which week Charlie's been to the news agents. He's on 9 at the halfway stage, and Paul is on 12.
Paul never gets this.
Paul does well.
He doesn't get any of this. Yeah. Unbelievable.
What was my score, Jeff?
It's 24-9.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Some of the listeners doing well. Webby and Harlow, best round ever. Okay. 6 with 2 direct hits.
Amazing.
13, Phil in Hereford. I'm on 10, the best I've done in a while, says Simon the Spurs. You're all playing better than me. John the Swindon fan's on 20. Feels like I'm 7-0 down against Aldershot. Well, I know Charlie's playing well. And this is a corker. We've not had one of these before, Andy. I'm almost tempted to do it. Where's it gone? It was an absolute corker.
Here it comes.
I'm on 9 so far, but I missed the first question. Could you repeat it, please?
Oh, right, that's nice.
No, I don't think we will. He's on 9. He missed the first question, the listeners.
You're not on 9 then, are you?
Wants us to repeat it. We haven't got time yet.
Bubba Watson.
Bubba Watson.
There you are.
There you go, whoever you are. On to the next birthday number 6. Charlie will lead us off.
Okay, it's the designer and businesswoman, Kath Kidston. And I entered an enterprise competition with her, actually, but Alan Hansen told me I was wasting my time. He said, you can't win anything with Kidston.
Can't win anything. That's good.
Very good.
Kath Kidston.
I've never seen Kidston. I've seen her shops. Yeah. Her style is oldie-worldie.
Yeah,
I wonder if she's like a retro designer and she sort of brought that back in.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's a really good one.
Charlie, I'm with you all the way.
So, this is how... I'm not going to say I'm going to work it out because I'm going first. I think she will be about 63.
I think that's a good guess. I'm putting her in the kind of retro market by a successful business person. I'd say... I'll go 62.
65.
Wow, again...
There we are.
You're just chipping away,
Charlie. I just can't
get near you. What's the scores, Jeff?
It's Paul 27, Charlie 11. Charlie's won all so far.
I just need one sort of doozy.
I'll mess it up in a minute.
I just need one that gets me back in the game. I'm kind of in it, but with each one... Okay, next birthday, Andy.
Okay, it's birthday the singer-songwriter Lord. And every single time I've been to her house, I've seen the brightly blazered MCC member John Fingleton. Yes, you always find fingers at Lord's.
Mm. Yes, that's among others. That's
Lord.
A bit in.
I always put one in for myself.
Lord.
He has been on the show a few times.
I say Lord hasn't. She'd be an odd booking for Talksport.
We had Jilly Cooper.
Yeah, we had Jilly Cooper. That's brilliant. She's written a book about, I don't think Lord's made a football album of football anthems. Celery. Halfway through side one. I saw her at a festival, I think. I think Lord is 33.
I think she's right. I think you're right. I think she was quite old, and I think she's got it happen to her a little bit later.
Oh, okay.
Not like in her early 20s, a later
20s. She's 90,
is she? 90. Okay. 35.
Ooh, she's 27.
Oh, sorry, Lord, if you're listening.
Regals.
Came to her later in life. Yeah.
Well, Paul, you guessed 33 last year as well. Charlie guessed 31. Now we are on Paul 33, Charlie 19.
I promise I won't put her in next year.
It's almost like I don't pay attention.
Yeah. You've got quite a poor memory, Charlie, haven't you?
Who's going to remember any of this?
Yeah. Okay. 33-19. So next birthday number 8. Here we go.
Okay. She's the editor-in-chief of US Vogue and chief content officer for... for Condé Nast. Mm. It's Dame Anna Wintour.
Mm. Anna Wintour. Yeah. Young hair.
And I know her quite well, actually. We drove across America one time. I couldn't afford it, but Anne offered to pay all the petrol. I was very grateful for the Wintour fuel allowance.
Yeah, oh, that's very nice. I like that, yeah. Anna Wintour.
Married to Jeff Wintour, isn't she?
No, Jeff. No, or Ed Jeff. No relation.
Imagine often at Jeff.
Dennis Ray's 4 points. The only Jeff Wintour I
think that was offside, Anna,
when he was on
one?
Superstars. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
How old she?
Yeah.
78.
78. That's a good guess. 76.
74.
Oh, okay. Chipping back, Paul, aren't you? Okay. Doing well.
Yeah, what's the score?
Closing the gap a little bit. 35-23. She's also gone into the half price
here we go.
Camping market.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now is the winter of our discount tents.
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm just
yeah. imagining it's been dumped. The producer's dumped it.
Dumped the joke.
Like it's. And they'll have to make a report. He'll have to put in a
report.
He'll have to put in a report as to why.
It makes no sense, that joke.
I'm just imagining Jeff Wintour in the front row. He's just around the world going to fashion shows with Anna.
Jeff Wintour at the front.
I'd rather be at Riverside.
Jeff, now go to Jeff. Any colour as long as it's black.
Yes. We had a crack on. We haven't got long left. Keanu Reeves is on next. Birthday number nine.
Never mind. It's the performance artist and musician Cozy Fanny Tutti.
Cozy Fanny Tutti. Come on. No, that's not. That's an opera.
That's her name. Cozy Fanny, F-A-N-N-I.
Just be very aware of the time, Andy, as you conclude this game.
Carry on talk sport. You're going to put your own clip in your own clip.
No,
okay,
not
here
at
we
all.
Go. We're running out of time. Here we go. Okay.
Whenever we're on a long journey, she always has a supply of oranges, apples and bananas. It's always welcome to have a piece of Tutti's Frutti en route.
Oh. And what does she do?
Oh, Andy, love that one.
She's a performance artist.
I haven't got a clue.
No,
she has
got a clue.
You?
She could be 98. Well, that's the idea. She could
you've
be one.
That's
she could really, be one. Imagine really, if she was one.
That's really difficult, isn't it? Oh, no. I haven't got a clue. This
no,
could be.
And I can just, all
me.
I can do is go one or up above. Yeah. So, you know, okay. I can do that.
I'm going to just go middle diddle. I'll go 55.
Oh, okay. I see. I could try and finish the game.
Well,
couldn't
you could
I?
Do. Well, yeah, I think we need to because times are pressing.
65.
72.
Okay, wow. I went for it.
Scores, very quickly, Jeff.
52-30. 22 in it, one to go.
22.
I notice we've got to really rush it on and stuff when you're behind.
No,
yeah, I noticed
because
that.
Keanu Reeves is
oh,
on,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, yeah, good luck to him.
Take it out with Keanu, not me. next birthday, final birthday, Charlie.
Final birthday of the week. It's the film director, Billy August. And she took me on a week-long tour of the sights and sounds of Manchester. I really enjoyed my August Manc holiday.
Oh, that's good.
Very nice. I don't know who she is.
Nor do I.
Not a clue.
Nor do I.
55.
Oh, okay. Okay, 55. Yeah,
you could win
right.
it easily, Paul. Easily.
I'm going to go 79.
There we are. Here it comes.
She is, in fact, 75.
Oh!
Oh! The game close.
Just give us the final scores, Jeff, and we'll get the heck out of here.
56-50, and Charlie closes the gap to 19-17 this year.
Oh, well, it!
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's this afternoon's show. Charlie, you're back on Saturday?
Saturday morning, 9 till 11. And I'll be there from 9 till 11 this week.
You plan to get there at 9?
Yeah, I plan to get there at 9.
9:30?
I always plan to get there at 9.
Was it? It was the real spirit of you did the Spirit of Brazil lecture.
I do.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Yes. Charlie was late last week, but did the show in his car.
Did the show from the car, first. He's doing it from the car.
Not for the first time. He literally phoned it in. So do hope you can join the boys on Saturday. I'll be back with Andy tomorrow for Stan Collymore and Clips of the Week and all that. So thanks for listening. And if you can't listen tomorrow, podcast available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.